All right. Well, folks, thanks for joining us for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. This is the Chats edition. We're going to be talking with Mike Serrano. You know him by 08 Grinder on YouTube and Twitch. He's also been around the poker world for a while. He lives down in Vegas now. We pre-recorded the interview, so you're going to hear that a little later. We had a fantastic chat with him and got into some really interesting areas of his life and his role with poker. So I hope that everyone enjoys that as much as I did having it. But I should probably tell you what's going on. This is the Rec Poker Podcast. My name's Jim Reed. I'm Rec Poker Jim in the Twitterverse while we still have it, and Bluffsterini in the Home Game Club. I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino, because most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, and most of our members are free. Most of our activities are free. That's why our sponsors are such a big help. But the biggest help, the folks that really make the magic happen over here, are the Wrecking Crew. You get used to hearing my voice on Monday nights because they let me host the podcast for some silly reason. But I am just one of the village of folks that make Rec Poker great. And if you want to find out more about me and the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew. But you can also just listen up, because you're going to meet a few of them right here tonight on the show, starting with producing co-host Chris Jones.
I'm Chris Jones. You can find me 5b5 on Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. Just try to find me somewhere.
And I'm Joe Coolis. You can find me on Twitter at JoeCoolPhD, cool with a K, or on the Home Game at Elvita11.
And I'm John Somsky, also known as PokerGeekMN everywhere.
Hey, I'm Joseph Wills. I am Hockey_Poker in the Twitterverse and Hockey_Poker702 in the Home Game.
I'm Rob Washam, and I'm Rabman50 just about everywhere.
And I'm Sasha Sutton. You can find me at Poker for Girls on Twitter and on the Rec Poker website on my study group page.
Well, thanks for joining me, everybody. We're going to have a fun time tonight. We're going to give away some prizes. We're going to talk poker. We're going to probably tease each other a little, because this is what happens when you get together with people you love here on the Rec Poker Podcast. So what can I say? We've thanked the sponsors. We've thanked the Wrecking Crew members. I see people are already having fun here in the YouTube chat. So since we are going to throw to an interview that's already happened, I think if people want to start typing the words food bank into the YouTube chat right now, we'll be able to give a prize away without waiting too long. And the reason we do this is every week we like to raise awareness for the plight of food insecurity. Most of us live in North America, and I think we kind of feel that people starving is something that happens in other places. But the fact is, a lot of people are having a little trouble putting food on the table, or maybe putting food in their kids' bellies. People that you might not expect in neighborhoods that you might not expect. It's an issue across the world. And the best way for you to help out and to make the world a better place is to make a donation to your local food bank. And if you just pull out your smartphone right now and Google food banks near me, you'll find several quality organizations that could use your help, either a few hours of your time, a few dollars out of your pocket, or some non-perishable food items from your pantry. So I encourage all our folks to go support a food bank near you and make the world a better place in that way. But in the meantime, let's get to know Mike Serrano, 08 Grinder, a little better. Yeah, so let's throw that interview right now. Okay, well, here it is, the interview we've all been waiting for. It's 08 Grinder here on the Rec Poker Podcast. So first of all, I want to thank Joseph Willis for making this introduction. And I want to thank Mike. Thank you so much for coming here on the show. I'm excited to have you here on the Rec Poker Podcast.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. You know, I've always wanted to be a guest. So and it just so happens that Joe is a friend of mine, and he was like, hey, Mike, you got nothing to do, right? So,
yeah, right. That's not exactly how I understand it. But let me start off the interview with the same question that we ask a lot of our guests, which is, if our audience hasn't heard of you, imagine you're in an elevator and someone walks in and asks you to sort of define your own role in the poker world today. How would you answer that question?
Oh God. Okay. So, well, first of all, I just want to say I am one of the children of the Rounders movie. You know, after I saw Rounders, I was just like, wow, you know, like this is so cool. And I started playing poker with friends, and then it kind of like evolved into kind of like, I kind of want to go play some more poker. I'm sick of playing with my friends. I want to play with other people. So that's kind of like where my love for poker began. And then, you know, fast forward to me finally, because I'm from Chicago, and I moved out to Vegas in 2015. You know, I convinced my wife not to move to California. I convinced her that Vegas is better.
That's a tough sell. That's a tough sell for people that aren't gambly by nature, right? What shiny objects did you dance in front of her eyes to convince her that Vegas was going to be a fun choice for her?
I think I just like, you know, like every man, I just avoided the topic altogether about California. And then I just stopped the car in Vegas. Smarter way to California.
Smart.
You know, yep. And I just said, you know what, let's just stay here for a while and see what happens. And that's, you know, we've been here ever since.
Amazing. Great work. Excellent.
Yeah.
Work.
And I started making videos around 2017. I actually, like 4 months after I saw the Troopers videos, you know, I think everybody knows who the Trooper is. And then I saw Andrew Niemi's videos. And so I was sort of inspired to make my own videos at the time. So that's kind of like where I'm sort of known in the poker sphere, someone who makes, you know, content. And then the content making kind of got me into live streaming and commentary and that sort. So that's kind of like where I am.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people know already, but you've got a very active YouTube channel. You've uploaded hundreds of videos there. You've been involved in commentary and in streaming and that sort of thing. How can you describe, so a lot of our listeners are recreational players, and I think we're all kind of interested in this transformation from being an outsider to an insider in the poker world. What were the characteristics, or like, what was the situation that you found yourself in that sort of allowed you to make that step? What did it feel like to sort of go from someone who was a fan and started making videos to someone that was being invited to do commentary with some of the big names in poker and that kind of thing?
Well, first of all, like any opportunity that I had to work with some of these people in the industry was such an honor for me, because, you know, as a fan, starting off as a fan, you're always like, oh, wow, you know, this, everything is so cool. And then all of a sudden, like now I'm working with guys like Nate Gamble, Henry Kilbane, you know, and people from like the party poker, like the programming crew, and, you know, being able to interview Phil Galfond and Chance Cornith. It was just like, this is so cool. I can't believe I'm here. I had to like pinch myself every now and then. And, but yeah, you know, I never took anything for granted. I tried to give my best. And you know, it's kind of hard to explain the kind of like euphoria that you feel when you've kind of like, you know, put your feet into the water, you know. So, but all I can say is it's a blessing. It's a great opportunity, and you know, I'm just blessed to have been, you know, had kind of like the right connections and being at the right place at the right time, you know.
Yeah. So let's dive just a little deeper into that then. So being at the right place in the right time, like what was the right place and what was the right time? And like, and was there a defining moment where I was like, oh, I'm actually on the other side of this line now?
Mm-hmm. Well, the pandemic, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody knows around 2000, we all had to stay home. Mm-hmm. And I had this idea I would just start live streaming because I had nothing to do. You know, I had my YouTube channel, which was kind of like, you know, kind of fledgling, you know, it wasn't like taking off or anything, So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to live stream in. I don't care if nobody watches. So I would go on my YouTube channel and I would fire up my YouTube channel, go live for about 30 minutes every day. So I would get up at like 5 o'clock, go online at 6 a.m. And I kind of likened it to like a morning radio show where I would just be like, hey, what's going on, guys? So the weather in Vegas is, you know, whatever. And then I would have like a topic, right? It'd be like, oh, my first time playing at the World Series. You know, the next episode would be like my longest session ever. You know, stuff like that. Just, you know, basic poker stuff. Like, you know, what you would talk about amongst your friends. And then, you know, I had nobody watching me at the time. But then, you know, as I kept going, I did this every day for like about 3 months.
It's hard.
Almost every day for three months. And then I started having people, you know, come on and watch. And so I would interact with them in chat. And it kind of like took off from there. And then, you know, I came up with this idea to stream the World Series of Poker because I realized I had an opportunity to provide something that wasn't readily accessible to a lot of people. Because, you know, back then, if you were not in New Jersey or Las Vegas, you could actually not see the action.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could not view it. Like you couldn't watch it as a fan. So I was like, why don't I just live stream the events for everybody? And World Series, the schedule was one event a day.
Right.
So it wasn't too hard for me to do. So what I would do is I would wait until like the event was in the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would start the live stream there. And then I would stream it until we crown a winner. So amazing. These were like anywhere from like 6 to 12 hour streams. And I did this every day. I did it every day. Well, almost every day. I'm not going to. I didn't do every single event, but I did most of it. So I did like around 60 events. Most of them were in the WSOP and then some of them were on GG Poker. And I had access to GG Poker at the time, you know, and people were wondering how the hell do you have access? You're not supposed to have access. You're in the US. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they're letting me stream it. So, so it was a lot of fun. I met so many people and I was so taken aback by how popular my streams were because I literally have thousands of people watching and people were making requests. Hey, my buddy's in, he's on table, whatever. Can you like, can you show his table real quick? I'm like, yeah, sure. What's your buddy's name? Thunder612. All right, let's go rail Thunder612. You know, and people would want updates on where's Phil Hellmuth, right? Where's Daniel Negreanu? And I would tell them, okay, Phil got knocked out. Daniel's still in, you know? So it was just like, it was kind of like inviting, I likened it to inviting people over to your house to watch the big game, right? Mm-hmm, so I would just talk to everybody like they were just like my buddies, you know, who I invited over to my living room to watch a game. So that's kind of like the environment that I kind of like fostered on my streams. So
that's awesome. That's
kind of like where it took off. And then, you know, then I started having guests over. And,
right.
You know, and then I started getting like, hey, you want to do some commentary?
So that's crazy. So I know Joseph's got some questions, but I just want to jump in on this here for a moment, because this is, I just love this story because we have reporters on the show. You know, Kevin Mather's been on the show. We've had
a lot
of people on the show who have reached these positions of excellence within the poker world, not as players, but as industry people. And the common thread for a lot of them is they just started doing something that they loved and did it religiously with discipline. And it's amazing. Like and I'll just say this to our audience. I say this all the time. If you love poker and if you want to get more involved in the poker world, just start doing something. And like Mike says, just do it every day, almost every day. Do it every day. And eventually, you know, the cream rises to the top because it's hard. It's hard to do things every day. This is episode 526 or something of the Rec Poker Podcast. Kudos. And we only do it like once every week or twice a week. And maintaining that, you know, being having that kind of discipline and passion is what separates people from the pack. So I love to hear that. And I think I just think more people should take that step and just find something that they love that people are not doing out there or that they're not doing well, and just throw yourself at it and see what happens. And it's just great to have another story to share of people that have turned that passion into success and into a real home in the poker world.
No, I totally agree. I never envisioned, the whole streaming thing, that it would take me anywhere. I thought I was just going to do it for fun and just have fun with it. You know, I wasn't expecting thousands of people to watch my stream like every night, you know, but they did. And I met so many cool people. I made so many awesome friends and I'd do it all over again, you know, if the situation presented itself. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's like what you said. There are other avenues to get into poker. It's not just being a player. You know, you can work in media, with Poker News. I have a friend, Shirley Ang. She's a manager over at Poker News. And we talked about, like, she was like, do you want to do some poker reporting? I'm like, I don't know if I want to get cussed out by the players.
yeah.
You know, but you know, it's when she mentioned it to me, I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. You know, like, you know, if you want to really get into in the middle of what's going on, like, especially in the World Series of Poker, you know, poker reporting could be a thing, you know. And I just lucked out that it was a pandemic and I was able to provide a resource, some sort of entertainment for people that can't get out of the house. So, and it just so happened it was poker and it was my passion. So, you know, it's just, I was just lucky, you know, just to have everything come together.
Well, I mean, lucky, but also, like I say, determined and disciplined and passionate. And I think it takes, you know, luck is a factor as well, but it's not sufficient. It might be necessary, but it's not, it's not sufficient. Mm-hmm. Joseph, yeah, Mike, is something you want to ask?
No, I was going to say, like, you know, you also need support. You know, I had a conversation with my wife. I told, hey, I was like, after the first stream, I was like, hey, kind of went good. I told her I should do this tomorrow night. And she said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then after the second night, I was like, it went good again. Maybe I should go the next night. And she just said, look, if you're going to do this every night, just tell me. You know, and I was like, thank you. You know, we had a daughter, and you know, she was obviously every kid struggled at school during the pandemic, and I was like, all right, you're gonna have to take care of the homework and stuff, and I'm gonna be in this other room for about 8 to 10 hours,
right?
You know, not being able to help or anything, you know, but I had that support, and you know, my wife is she's the real MVP, you know, because without her, I don't think I would have been able to push forward. Because there were days when I was like, man, I just did a 12-hour stream. I'm beat. But then she's like, yeah, but people are counting on you to be there tomorrow, you know. And that kind of like what got me going is because, like, I don't think anyone else was doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, I think there were like, I think Poker News, they were kind of like doing their own stream at the time. And Jeff Platt was doing his own stream, but they weren't doing it every day. I was doing it every single day. I did almost every single event. And I was like, if I don't show up, where are the people going to get their entertainment? So that's kind of like, that was like my push, you know? So, yeah.
I love it.
I did it for the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Joseph.
Nice. Yeah. Just speaking of entertaining or, you know, entertainment, I know you've obviously, you know, played a lot of live poker as well. And even on the stream, I mean, I guess, what are some of the craziest things that you've seen? I guess it's more exciting, you know, when you're there in the poker room and something happens, but, you know, can you illustrate a few things that, you know, of note that has happened over the years?
Like crazy things that happened on my stream or,
whichever, you know, has anyone ever flipped a table in the poker room while you're, you know, sitting
there? Okay. All right. So as far as live, I want to say I've seen some crazy stuff happen, you know, being in Vegas and all, but, my games aren't that crazy, what you don't want to see is kind of like, inexcusable behavior. When I used to play a lot, I play with a lot of regulars and sometimes, you know, when people kind of like lose their cool, they do things that, you know, you frown upon. I've seen players throw cards at dealers' faces, you know, that's uncalled for, you know, it's that kind of stuff, but nothing like fights or jumping on tables and stuff. I mean, I've seen players get arrested at the table before, just the security coming in and just pulling them out. And he's like, I got to finish this hand. But then like, you know, they're pulling it, but you know, that's it. You know, nothing too out of the ordinary in Vegas.
True. Yeah.
On stream, I've had a lot of cool moments. There was a time when, we were following Phil Hellmuth's run at one of the events, and, we were just in full Phil Hellmuth support. Like the whole stream was like, let's go Phil Hellmuth. Let's try to get, number 16. Right. And he popped into the chat, you know, just to talk to, the YouTube audience at the time. And I just thought it was so cool for him to do, because he didn't have to do that, you know, and people were like tweeting at him. They're like, hey, you know, can you pop on 08 Grinder stream, whatever. And he didn't say anything, right? He didn't say anything. He didn't say he was going to pop in, but he popped in for like, you know, 15 minutes and just chatted with everybody. And I just thought that was so cool of Phil Hellmuth, you know, say what you say about the guy. He's, you know, he does things that just like, and people are just enamored by him. So, you know, he does things like that. So,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And did you ever get a chance to meet Doyle? I know we just had Doyle Day back on the 2nd of October.
I love that.
But did you ever get to meet him or any stories of him you'd like to share?
You know what? I've never actually met him in person. But he's rolled by me a few times, you know, him and like Mike Mattisell, they've rolled by me a few times. I've never been the kind of guy to be like, stop someone and, you know, and take photos with them. You know, I don't know, maybe it's like how I grew up, but I'm not comfortable stopping someone while they're walking, because I feel like I'm intruding. Or I'm like, you know, I don't want to cause them any delay. You know, if they're going somewhere important or whatever, I don't want to like take up a lot of their time. And I don't want it to be like a domino effect where like, if I stop them and then like a whole bunch of other people stop them, and now
right.
they can't be where they're supposed to be, you know? So I've never been that kind of a person. I've always been kind of like, you know, if we run into each other and we both look like we're not busy and we have like 5 minutes to chit chat, let's do that. But then like, if you're like Doyle and he's like on his little scooter and he's like trying to get someplace, you know, I can be like, oh, there's Doyle. You know, but I've never like tried to stop him, you know, try to
get a photo. I will point out, in the few communications that Mike and I have had, Mike, you strike me as someone who's extremely like polite and accommodating and deferential. You definitely like put other people first, and it comes through in all your communications here. Do you think that's a liability as a poker player?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that. I think like your personality, your character, I mean, that's the kind of person you are. But to be someone like a successful player, there's like a switch that you can turn on and just be like, okay, I'm in game mode. Right.
Yeah.
you know, I can be a nice person still, but still be able to do this type of work effectively. So yeah, I don't think it's a hindrance to be a nice person or to be someone that's kind of like deferential, to be a little bit more passive in your everyday life, you know, because, you know, you're not, you know, I mean, I guess to some people it's a little bit difficult to make that transition, but it's something that you can learn to do. Mm-hmm. It's not something mm-hmm. that you're stuck with, you know? So, you know, to all the people out there who are passive, you know, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it doesn't always have to be.
Yeah. And I think, you learn. Know, and I'm a fun, friendly, you know, kind person, and Joseph's the same way. A lot of us on the Wrecking Crew are here because we want to put other people first and help other people with their poker game and to like spread our love of poker. But I absolutely am coming after every one of your chips on the table. And, you know, we'll both smile while it happens, but like, I'm coming for those chips. And so I do feel like there's that switch that you have to just kind of flip as you enter into the arena mm-hmm. on the felt. But yeah, that's great. I feel the same way. Now I know Joseph has a couple other questions, but you were very active, making tons of videos, doing your commentary, interviews, that kind of stuff, I know. And it feels like recently you've kind of taken a step back from the public sphere. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It sort of kind of like happened after I had a bout with Bell's palsy. To your listeners who aren't familiar with Bell's palsy, it's basically the right side of my face went numb. And I was like in the middle of dropping off my daughter at school. And then I just felt something weird right here on the left, on my right side of my face. And I was like, it's weird. I'm, you know, my face is kind of droopy. Right. But I didn't think nothing of it. I thought I was just tired because I had a long night, the previous night. So I get home and then it just kept like the feeling just never went away. And then I went into the bathroom to look and I was like the right side of my face was like falling off. Like it was like, I looked like one of those like monsters in the movies where it was like melting, you know, like I was like the blob, like, you know, like the right side of my face was like melting down. I freaked me out. I thought I was having a stroke, you know?
Yeah. That must've been terrifying. Are you kidding?
I freaked out. I told my wife, you need to take me to the hospital. So I go there and, you know, they run all the tests, you know, MRIs and whatnot. And it was so, so nerve wracking because, you know, anyone that I would ask, they wouldn't tell me what's going on. It was always like, oh, let the doctor tell you, you know? And I was like, the doctor's missing. I don't know where he is. All you do these tests, you know? And finally, after like 6.5 hours, he comes out and he's like, well, you're not having a stroke, but you do have Bell's palsy. So here, take this steroid and hopefully your face goes back to normal in a couple of months.
Wow.
I was like, oh, wow. Thanks, doc. You know, so I go home. So obviously, I had like a gig lined up too for a party, but obviously, I couldn't do the show because half of my face was falling off. So I reached out to the production crew. I told them I can't, I couldn't do it. So, you know, I was kind of like bummed out, but
I bet.
And so I was mostly home most of the time. And then I was like, okay, let me just do some videos, whatever. And then I don't know, it was, At some point during that time, I was like, I was starting to feel stressed mm-hmm. and I couldn't really pinpoint what it was. But then, you know, I was in this phase where I was like, I gotta keep going because if I stop now, I will lose momentum.
Yep.
And, you know, I have such a good thing going on here that I need to stay relevant, you know, so that there was this pressure of like, trying to stay relevant, trying not to get lost in all of what's happening. Because at this point, this was like just a year ago, and we're all getting out of the pandemic now. Everything's kind of like getting back to normal, and I wanted to have a little bit of a bigger presence, but at the same time, I just had all these things coming at me, and I felt overwhelmed. I felt stressed, mm-hmm. and I think at some point I thought that I was going to have like a nervous breakdown or like a bout of depression. And my wife saw like the stress on my face and in my actions, and she was like, "I think you probably need a break." And I was like, "I think you're right." You know, and I always listen to my wife because she's always right.
Sounds like a smart woman.
She's always right.
Yeah. Is she in the room? Because I'll make sure she listens to the podcast.
Yeah, she's always right. I have to say that three times. But yeah, so I took her advice and I decided to take a break. But then I didn't remove my social media at the time. I was still kind of like involved, but I was just kind of like not making content. And I noticed that every time I would go on Twitter or like on Instagram or on my TikTok, and I'm like trying to interact with people that are interacting with me, I was getting stressed doing that. And I realized that the stressor wasn't just making content, it's being on social media. And I recognized that, and at first I was kind of like in denial. I didn't want to like let go, but I realized that if I didn't let go, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where I'd end up. So I kind of made the hard decision to shut everything down. So I deactivated my Twitter, Instagram, basically everything. I just left the YouTube channel because, you know, it was just harder to get rid of at that point. But, you know, so, and the first couple of months, I started to feel better, you know, because I wasn't stressed. I wasn't anxious. I started sleeping better because I wasn't sleeping at all. I was maybe sleeping like 4 hours max in the evenings. Now I'm asleep like first couple months, six, then goes to like 7 hours. And then at some point I was sleeping 8 to 10 hours every night. And I just felt so refreshed. And, you know, and then, it just, I was like, okay, I'll give it like a month, and 2 months go by, 3 months go by, you know, next thing you know, 6 months go by, and, you know, I'm feeling good. And I was like, oh, maybe I can, you know, let me see if I can go back. I tried going back, and it was like, I started feeling stressed again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, maybe I'm not ready. I'm not ready to go back. So I decided to take the entire year off and just focus on myself basically. And then, you know, at first, when people would ask me, because, you know, I would have people wondering, where's Orly Grinder? What's he doing? Why hasn't he, you know, released a video and stuff? And my standard answer was always like, I'm just, you know, taking a social media break, you know, because I wasn't really ready to admit that I kind of had like, you know, a little like a mental like break. I don't know if that breakdown is the right word, but, you know, I just felt like a lot of things were like falling apart for me, and I needed to get away so I can put myself back together. Mm-hmm. And, but I wasn't ready to admit that to people at the time. So I would just tell people that I just needed a social media break. So this is actually the first time like people are going to actually hear the real reason why, you know, so I'm more comfortable talking about it now. But, you know, if we were having this interview like half a year ago, I probably wouldn't be as open about it as I am today.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, and I'm slowly, you know, moving towards like a healthier me. I don't know. Someone actually reached out to me the other day and asked if I was going to make content again. And my honest answer was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I can't say that, I'm coming back, you know, better than ever, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. Time is a big thing for me now. I'm working on something, and actually I should just say it. I'm trying to get into law school.
Oh, wow. So cool.
I'm working towards, you know, becoming an attorney, but I need to get into law school first.
Yes.
So I'm currently studying, or preparing to, take the LSAT. So, once I get through that part, then maybe, you know, maybe we'll find an institution that will take me.
Yeah.
And then, go through the rigors of law school. So that's kind of like my goal now. So, and I don't know if content creation is going to be a part of my, you know, immediate life, because I'm obviously going to be very busy trying to be trying to be a good student, you know.
Yeah.
So it's something on hold. I haven't 100%, you know, said that I'm not going to do it, or I'm never going to do it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely on hold for now. So that's kind of like where I am right now with it.
This is a fascinating part of your story. I have a few follow-ups I just have to dive in here with. So first of all, let's just put out the disclaimer that most of social media is a hellscape, toxic place that most of us should just be avoiding. There's pros and cons to it, but a lot of it's pretty terrible. And so congratulations to you, really, for prioritizing your health and your happiness, and for giving yourself the space and the room that you need to develop. And I guess my question on that front is sort of, I think a lot of people in the industry, they get to this point where it's like they're taking a break or they're stepping away from content creation. Do you still love poker? Are you playing poker even though you're not creating content? How has your relationship to the game of poker changed?
I think with anything, your relationship with particularly your passions will always change. You know, you can't always say, "Oh, I'm the same with poker from day one." You know, I don't think that's accurate. I think your love for the game, your involvement in the game changes as your life evolves. So obviously I'm not playing as much as I used to, but whenever I have friends that I talk hands with, you know, and sometimes people will just, "Hey, you know, Mike, what would you do if, you know, if on the turn, you know, we turn second nuts, we got to redraw to, you know, the third nut low." And I'd be like, all right. So are we talking pot limit, or, you know, what are the stack size? You know, I'm still there. But I just, I don't play as much now, you know, so, there's not a whole lot of avenues for me to play too, because, online poker is sort of dead for the kind of games that I play,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't play hold'em. I've never played a whole lot of hold'em. I mean, I'll play it.
Sure. But it's not your game. It's not
my game. No. Yeah. So the kind of games that I play, I play PLO 8, pot limit big O, but those games are not prevalent, here in Vegas and mostly online too, but the games don't run very often. So I never really get a chance to play, but you know,
mm-hmm.
When the situation presents itself, I'm definitely in the streets, just not as often as people might think, you know. But yeah, I have a lot of love for the game. Ever since Rounders, you know,
yeah,
I've it's you know, like I don't have any other hobbies. I don't like anything else, you know, like,
well, look, yeah, unlike,
you know, I don't like looking at birds through binoculars or, you know, I mean, if that's your thing, great. You know, I just, that's not for me.
No, I was going to say, unlike, you know, Mikey McDermott, who left law to do poker, you know, you're leaving poker to pursue law. So there's some parallels there.
You know what? If I meet a judge that's willing to loan me, you know, I want to get in the judge's game, you know.
Yeah, so. There you go.
and to mirror kind of what Jim said, yeah, kudos for you for, you know, for recognizing it, you know, of what was going on. You know, most people, not just in poker, but professionally, would just push through and deal with whatever comes their way. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what we're conditioned to do. It's just, you know, play through the pain, if you will.
That's something that always kind of like bothered me, right? Where it was like, you know, the old adage where, you know, okay, if you're in a downswing, you just play through it, and then you just come out. As long as you make all the right decisions, right? I always felt like there was something wrong with that statement because, you know, if you just keep going and you just keep getting hit in the face, but you don't make any adjustments, then you're just going in there with a horrible mindset because you're going in there expecting that, okay, I'm still in this downswing, so it doesn't matter what I do. And I don't think that's the right mindset. And I kind of looked at it that way because I saw other people kind of be on the verge of like having a mental breakdown or having like, or being on the verge of being depressed, but instead of seeking help or working on themselves, they would just like, oh, I'm just going to plow through. I'm going to push through and hope like things would just get better. Hope they hit a miracle gut shot and that'll just take him over the top. But that's only like a temporary feeling, you know. The next day you could be back to where you began. And I didn't want to be in that situation where I would put unnecessary stress on myself and on my family too, because I have people that depend on me. It's not just about me, you know. So I'm no use to me, and I'm no use to my family if, you know, I can't function, I can't function in a way where I'm beneficial to other people, you know. And I want people to know that, you know, when you surround yourself with people, you always want to surround yourself with people that will help you be a better person, and that, you know, that they love what you contribute to their life, you know. So when you have people like that, you become more responsible, you know, because you feel indebted to other people. You don't feel alone. So that's something I wish more people would take account of, especially like, you know, being in the poker sphere. It almost feels like you're like this lone ranger, you know. There's no I'm it's me against 9 other players at the table. Right. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I've met a lot of cool people in poker, and I would never say that, oh, I wish poker never happened in my life. No, I never say that. You know, it is what it is. You know, things happen for a reason. But, you know, you can make friends in poker. You just have to be present and be willing to, you know, reach out. You know, you don't want to, because a lot of poker players are kind of like standoffish, you know, you know, but it doesn't have to be. So that's kind of like my advice.
Yeah. I think people feel like it's a lone wolf activity, and there are a lot of lone wolves in it, but I think the people that really succeed are the ones that surround themselves by like-minded people who want to get better together and help each other get better. And like you said at the very top, it's not only about, you know, steel polishing steel and strategizing together. It's also about like having a support network. And having people that can encourage you and that can, you know, be there for you to complain at when things aren't going your way and to celebrate with you when things are going great. You know, I think this sense, this kind of cliche of the lone wolf poker player is very outdated. And I'm glad to see that we're kind of pushing back on that. I think that's important.
Yeah, it's the game is not macho anymore. You know, it's
right,
not
right.
You know, it's not who can make the biggest bluffs or anything.
Right.
And it's where it's not about that anymore. You know, and like you said, I'm glad that we're the generation. You know, the generation that's coming up in the poker world, they recognize that they know that it's not. And their life doesn't have to revolve solely around poker. You know, there's other things that you can do. You know, it's not just poker, can't just be your whole life. You got to have some balance. Otherwise, you just go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We always hear kind of represent this position that poker should be a part of your life. It shouldn't be your whole life. You know, recreational players, maybe we have day jobs, maybe we're retired, but we have other interests, and poker is a hobby. It's a game that we love. Even if we're winning players and we make money from playing it, you know, we're amateurs because we play for the love of the game.
Yes.
And I think as soon as you make something your everything, your relationship to it changes. It just has to. And the way that you feel about it changes, and the effect that it has on your life changes. And so I really appreciate that point that you're making, that you know, poker is a part of your life. And I think that makes it easier to love.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think when you take that step back, right, and you look at the bigger picture, you recognize things that you never saw before. And you know, it's taken me a long time to realize these things now, but I'm glad that I was able to go through that journey. You know, because like now I can say, oh, okay, like what I used to do to myself was toxic, but I didn't realize it was toxic. So, you know, and I like sharing that part of my story because, you know, I don't want anyone to experience what I experience, you know, all the bad stuff, you know, and I don't want to be like one of those guys. Well, he has to learn it. Yeah, he has to learn it the hard way. He needs to grind. He needs to grind his teeth. You know, and why would you be that way? You know, so I never liked that approach. You know, if someone comes up to me for help, I'm 100% I'll help you if it's within my power. You know, it's if you think that I can help you in your game, yeah, sure. Let's exchange numbers and, you know, we can talk about it. You know, before I used to never want to be in that position where, you know, hey man, can you help me with my game? Whatever. And I would always defer. I was, hey, you know, I'm not that great. I'm not that good. You know, maybe you're better off asking so-and-so.
Right.
You know, and I look back and I'm like, man, I just turned away someone who was asking me for my help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if he needed to hear from me, not from somebody else? And, you know, and now it's like, wow, I feel bad that I did that, but I can make amends now. I can, you know, if someone comes up to me now and they want my help because they're asking me, then yeah, sure. If I can help you, then yeah, I'm here. I'm available.
Well, and I think there is this natural kind of imposter syndrome for folks like us, Mike, where we're like, we've been in the game for a long time. We've played a lot of hands of poker. You know, we've talked to a lot of people about poker, but we haven't won like tens of millions of dollars. We don't have bracelets. Like there's this credentialing issue in the world of poker, I think, where we feel like, oh, well, you want to talk to someone who like really knows what they're talking about. But the more I've gotten involved with rec poker, you know, the more I appreciate just how much help we can be to people that are looking for this kind of help, beginners and intermediate players. You know, you don't need to be Daniel Negreanu to help them with the game, to give them advice, to shine the light on the path ahead a little bit, just so that they can see where to place their steps without having to fumble forward in the dark. You know, we don't have to be poker geniuses or masters just to make someone's journey in the world of poker more comfortable or to accelerate their learning. So I really appreciate that point. And it's been a good lesson for me too, to kind of, and other Wrecking Crew members, like, as we do coaching through the Wreck Poker program, and a lot of our premium members get coaching from Wrecking Crew members. And when people join the Wrecking Crew, there's always this sense of like, oh, but I don't really feel like I'm qualified to coach. And I'm like, well, let's like get asked some questions from some intermediate players. And you'll be surprised how much help you can be. So that really strikes a chord.
I tell people this all the time. You would be surprised how much poker you actually know.
Yes.
You know, but you need someone to kind of like peel away, you know, the layer so that you can see what you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I keep hitting my watch.
No, but yeah, I think we forget how little we knew about the game when we were getting started and while we were learning it. Because it's a lot. It's a lot. It takes a lifetime to master. Right.
Yeah, yes, that's very true. Very true.
Joseph, yeah. We're getting up to the end. I know you've got a couple of questions, and I've got a couple more, and we'll wrap it up after that.
Yeah, no worries. Now, I was going to suggest we're having, you know, our event at the Poker Oasis on December 10th. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, Mike can live stream that one for us, you know.
Hey!
Like a soft landing back into the, you know, the world of streaming, because we're going to have two tables for this event. So, you know,
we're going to need a lot of cameras.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Multiple angles. You want to get reaction shots. I am looking forward to that event, Joseph. December 10th at the Poker Oasis. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah,
count on it.
You're coming into town, Jim?
Yeah, I'm going to come down for a couple of weeks at the beginning of December. See if I can try my hand at that WPT series. Joseph was kind enough to say, "Oh, why don't we do an event at the Poker Oasis then?" So hopefully we can get some other Rec Poker members over, play some hands, have some fun, turn our cards over, talk about it. You know, the good old way, the good old fun fashion way of.
I guess I'll come.
We got him, Joseph. We got him.
Right, put me in the spot, Joe.
Right. That's how Mike and I met, actually, was, you know, he ended up coming out to one of the mixed games events.
Ah.
And the rest, they say, is history. So
it's that's very cool. I show up and, you know, obviously, there's people there that, they probably don't know who I am. And I try to stay as incognito as as much as possible. But Joe's like, oh, this is so-and-so. And I'm like, come on, man.
No, the don't first time him. You came, I had no idea who you were. You know, it was the second time, but I let the cat out of the bag.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing with everyone, and it was just such a refreshing feeling to be in an environment where we weren't like trying to kill each other. Because for a good part of the year, I was trying to juggle. Being like someone that plays for profit and also someone that would make content. And, you know, it was just refreshing to just be in an environment where, hey, you know, we're just having fun. We're learning how to play, you know, all the stud variants. We're learning how to play, you know, the different flop games, the different draw games. And it was just fun to make mistakes because people were asking questions. You know, and that's kind of like what poker should be, you know, that we shouldn't be afraid to not necessarily make a fool of ourselves, but to be open to helpful criticism, you know, give someone an opportunity to help you, because, you know, someone like Joe, for example, he's just waiting for a shot to teach a young buck, or be a mentor, you know. So
yeah, I don't know. I've been there. Yeah, my next article will definitely outline how novice I was even just 6-7 years ago. So anyway,
that's fun. Exciting.
It can be a great community if you allow it to be.
Yes, that's right. And just like every industry, you know, there's a subset of jerks. Like, you know, if you put 100 dentists in the room, some of them are going to be assholes. I'm sorry. It's true. It's like lawyers, it doesn't matter. Poker players, too. We've got our assholes in the poker world. And I think, you know, you just have to. My line is we just ostracize the assholes. Just get them out of the out of our games. We don't need to invite them into our games because there's so many good people in poker. And we just, you know, the people like Joseph and you, Mike, that want to make the table a more fun place where we want to just like enjoy ourselves, help other people get better at the game. I think it's one of the reasons why I prefer cash to tournament play. It's just because the atmosphere at the table is more collegial and there's less of this sort of hoodies and sunglasses and earphones mentality to it. Cause it does feel like a more social experience.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you want to have fun, play cash and mixed games. Well, the mixed games do seem to be the most fun. If you walk into a casino and there's one table where everyone's laughing and drinking, that's the mixed game table. You can tell. You can tell.
Yeah. Speaking of the mixed games, I've had many opportunities to go play at the Mixed Game Festival hosted by, I want to say my good friend, Robbie Straczynski.
Oh yeah.
I've gone to his, event. I want to say 3 or 4 times now. The most recent ones have been at Resorts World, and you know, it's a fun environment. You know, we get people from all over, and sometimes we'll have people just walk by and be like, "Hey, what are you guys playing?" Mm-hmm. And we'd look over and be like, "Oh, we're playing, you know, so and so," and then they're like, "I've never played that." Well, put your name on the list, buddy.
Right.
Put your name on the list. Grab some free pizza. Get a drink. And Robbie's a great ambassador for the game because he will stand up, talk to you for whatever, how much time he needs to talk to you.
Yeah.
And sit back at the table, play a hand, stand up again.
Yeah.
You know, do like a raffle off some hoodies and whatnot. He's a great person, and we need more people like him in the game. So
yeah. No, I agree. Robbie's, when I say Robbie's good for the game, I mean it in the good way. Like he's an excellent, excellent poker player and a great ambassador for mixed games and for the game of poker as well. We're actually going to have him on the show in about a month talking about some mixed game events that's awesome. Coming up. He's got his new mixed game festival coming to Las Vegas. I think it's at the end of November. And we're doing a series of we do a different mixed game every month in our home game club here at Rec Poker. And so we're going to be talking to Robbie and some other guests about their favorite mixed games and how to get the most out of them. So I'm looking forward to that. Great, great call out.
We need to get Mike back on to talk mixed game strategy because that is a wealth of knowledge there. So we'll get you back.
We'll get you back, Mike. Careful. You're in now, buddy.
Oh,
you're
my
in trouble
grace.
Now. You're hooked. We got him.
They pull me back in.
Wasted. Yeah, that's it. Well, I've got one more question for you. This is something that Eric Jin, who goes by Binkley or Com Binkley on the Wrecking Crew here, suggested earlier this week as a segment that I think we're going to start doing at the end of our podcast here. So this is called Stake, Study, or Stack. And there's an old game kids used to play, F word, marry, or kill. And this is kind of a similar idea here. So I was looking at your bio. You've done a lot of interviews and commentary with Henry Kilbane and Nate Gamble. And you've also mentioned Phil Hellmuth a few times on the show here tonight. So Henry Kilbane, Nate Gamble, Phil Hellmuth. You can stake one, you can study with one, and you can stack one at the table. Which one's it going to be?
Oh, man. Okay, so study with would be my buddy Nate. I always have to introduce him as the 2-time World Series of Poker bracelet winner Nate Gamble, because that's how he likes to be introduced.
So understandably Nate, so yeah
it's a running joke that we have with him, but yeah, Nate, I love picking his brain because he's in the mix in those high stakes mixed games, and he just sees the game at a different level, and I like being around people like that. And he's so approachable, and he's so easy to talk to, you know. And I was just texting with him maybe a month ago about we were gonna go grab some barbecue, you know, because he's from Texas, so he should be an expert in barbecue. I just go where the good food is, you know. So, but yeah, so study definitely Nate, steak, Henry, you know. Henry's like one of the nicest guys, but he's also like super dedicated in what he does, you know? And, he took second in a PLO tournament sometime last year. So I would invest in Henry and maybe make another run and maybe, you know, winning a couple of these down the road. So definitely. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one?
Stacking Phil Hellmuth.
Stacking Phil. Because that's like everyone's dream. Right? they want to stack. They want to stack here. The poker brat.
Yeah.
And only if it comes with a rant.
It always does, Joseph. I don't know if you've noticed. It always does.
The rant's the best part. You know, the rant's the best part. And if you don't get a classic Phil Hellmuth rant, then you did not stack him bad enough.
No, you should get your money back.
Yeah. Like you give him back. You know what, Phil?
Take it. I was not satisfied. Well, thanks, Mike. I had a feeling that Phil was going to be the stacked answer there, but that was great. I really appreciate this time. You've given us like a whole hour here talking to you about this game that we all love and the journey that you've taken through it. I really appreciate you opening up and sharing some of this stuff. And I think we even broke some news here on the show here tonight about getting going to be applying to law school soon. And I'm really excited for you. I can't wait to see what the next chapter holds. I hope you'll come back at some point over the next little while and kind of give us an update.
Well, you know what? Like I said previously, it's I've been looking forward to this. It's such an honor to be here, you know. And when Joe first mentioned that I could be here, I couldn't sleep because I'm like, what are they going to ask me? What are they going to talk about? You know. So you know now that it you know it's here, I feel more relaxed now. And, good. You know. We finally kind of like virtually met. So
yeah,
you know, so it's good. So I know it's been an honor to be here. I've enjoyed the experience. I mean, if you could have me every day, if I was available, I would. Every day, you know.
Well, it's a fun, group. It's a fun show. You know, you're a great guest and I really do.
I wish we were doing this live because then I would love to have interacted with your YouTube audience. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people have questions and whatnot. And, you know, if it's within my power, I'm happy to answer.
Fantastic. Well, folks, if you are watching at home or if you're listening at home, email info@rec.poker and set those questions in. And we'll make sure when we have Mike back on the show, we can pick his brain. Mike, is there a way that you like people to reach out? Is it YouTube? Is that like comments on your YouTube channel or... If folks do have more questions, how would you like them to sort of find you if they could find you?
Well, my best way to get in touch with me is through email. So they can find me at l08grinder@gmail.com. Joe asked, what's the L for?
Well, yeah.
When I first made my YouTube channel back in like 2017, I was playing a lot of limit high low at the time. So that's why that's where the L comes from. But then, you know, I kind of lost the L at some point. I don't know when, but you know, along the way, the L, but the email is still, you know, it's still LOAGrinder. So it's LOAGrinder@gmail.com. And, I check it periodically. So if people have questions, they can reach me out there. I think the YouTube videos too, if they want to leave comments on any of the videos, I'm kind of like trying to, rework my channel. So not all of the videos will be visible. I think some of the live streams are up there, but not everything. So, whenever I have free time, I'm trying to work to the point where I can re-release everything. So
nice. All right. Well, I'll make sure to put the links to the YouTube channel and that email address in the show notes. So if folks do want to reach out and say hi, they know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they can, you know, post a comment on this video too. You're going to put this out on YouTube, right? So
that's right. Yeah, I'd love it if you do, folks. Comment, like, subscribe. Oh, God, it feels weird saying that, but it does help us out a lot. So I'll put out the call to action. All right. Well, Joseph, thank you so much for your time today. Mike, this has been a real pleasure. And good luck with your with the next steps. And I can't wait to talk again. I guess maybe on December 10th at the Poker Oasis. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have me committed. So
all right.
I'll be there. Joe, just text me one like the day before.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm
I'll remind you. Oh, good. No, yeah. Thank you so much, Mike. This has been a pleasure.
No, the pleasure is all mine. Seriously, you gentlemen are great to talk to. So I look forward to us having another conversation.
All right. Well, that's the interview with Mike Serrano, 08 Grinder. And we'll throw back to the rest of the podcast here. Thanks again. All right, folks, we're back. We did it. What a fantastic interview. I love talking to 08 Grinder, Mike Serrano. A lot of the other members on the panel here don't know what we covered just yet. Rob usually has a couple of good guesses about what we got up to, but I'm going to let him hold on to those. He can find out on Friday like everybody else when the show comes out. But it was a really interesting interview. I liked how he really let us into his life, and he talked a lot about what he'd been working on behind the scenes, some personal struggles of his, how his life intersected with the world of poker, and sort of that balance to trying to find a place for all the things in his life that he was very interested in. So I really do appreciate that from Mike for sort of taking us into his life that way and sharing some of those personal details that you wouldn't know otherwise. So thank you very much for that, Mike. So yeah, folks, why don't you start typing the words food bank into the YouTube chat. And in the meantime, John Somsky will take us through some home game results. And then I just want to tease the one thing we're definitely going to be talking about is the Run Good road trip that's coming up November 14th to 19th. And folks can win some prizes there too. So stay tuned till the end of the episode and you'll find out a little more about that. Thanks, John. Take us through.
Well, we had our Mixed Game Championship Series. So this is a series that we play the second Wednesday of every month, and you earn points for every time you play to see who wins the Player of the Year at the end of the year. Graphic 16, Roger Schutte, got his first Mixed Championship event for this year.
Nice.
Gopher Boy TJM Taylor
okay,
Moss.
No, hold on. No, stop. Just stop. Stop right there. I was going to stop you anyway, because I want to shout out how great Roger Schutte is for all his work. Roger is one of these fantastic volunteers who are here at Rec Poker who help us out. Roger is very involved in the post-production elements of the podcast, and it's great to see him in the winner's circle again. Congratulations, Roger, and thanks for all you do. And then, John, you were about to skip over one player and then move on to the remaining winners this week?
Well, no, this is really still part of Roger's event here. I just had to point out that Gopher Boy TJM Taylor Moss still has a 50-point lead in the mixed game event. Now, that is not insurmountable, because a win will typically get you like 75 points.
Yep.
So, and he's earned all the points he can. I mean, he's played 10 events. Only your top 10 scores count. So, someone please take that over.
Yeah. Look, Taylor's a great guy. He's in the YouTube chat right now. I've stayed at his house. I've met his wife and kids. Lovely fella. Please don't let him win the Player of the Year again. Please. Listen, I know you folks, you like listening to him chime in on the podcast every once in a while. And he's always out there on Wednesday nights streaming at twitch.tv/recpoker every Wednesday. And in case you haven't noticed, he's a pretty sharp player. So if folks are listening to the podcast and they're like, hey, I love free access to poker trading material, you should check out twitch.tv/recpoker on Wednesday nights as he narrates his play in the home game. But just like, don't let him, don't encourage him, please. Just like, someone's got to do something. We can't just allow Taylor Moss to continue to storm the castle here year after year. Where's Mike Patrick? Does Patrick not play in this anymore? Like, Mike, throw us a freaking bone here. All right, sorry. That's all I have to say on that.
Well, then we have our Tournament of Champions. So every month we have, for the people who won an event in our daily series, we have a Tournament of Champions. And this month, Shark Slayer 21, Lucky Hawes, got his very first Tournament of Champions and won the coveted silver pin.
Look at that beauty. sharp. It is sharp. It's good looking.
Then we have Spot Colin, Spot Conlon. Daniel Kennedy got his fifth nightly victory for the year. And then Spot Conlon, Daniel Kennedy got his sixth nightly victory for the year. Back-to-back nights.
And speaking of inaugural members, Dan Kennedy's the inaugural gold pin winner from our Go for the Gold tournament, which happens every April. So I'm just, this is amazing. These folks are getting involved and rising to the top. We got a lot of killers here at Rec Poker. We're going to have to change the name to Pro.Poker pretty soon, I think, if this kind of mastery continues.
Or Serious Rec Poker, something like that. Insanely serious.
As long as we don't have to be too serious.
Yeah. Now you said it. Joe Rafter got his second international victory for the year. Oslo Berger, Trond Vidar Stensby got his third international victory for the year.
So both international events were won by international players. That's fantastic. Joe Rafter is in Ireland, and Trond Vidar Stensby, I believe, is in Norway, or one of the Scandinavian countries. And I hope I didn't just show my North American ignorance there. But
that's why we name it that way, right? Because it is in an international event.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
And given that he's called Oslo Berger, Oslo? Is that in Norway?
Someone who knows more about Scandinavian
geography. There we go. Yes. So probably Norway.
I knew it was Norway the whole time. I was very confident.
There you go.
My American geography skills flying through.
So then we have Jasper Jr. Pat Barry won the LPP event.
Amazing.
So he can contact info@rec.poker for his free month at Learn Pro Poker.
That's right. Do it, man. Learn Pro Poker was one of the first learning partners that we started working with here at Rec Poker. They've been a great friend to our organization over the years. And every week, we give away a month of membership to their fantastic training site. Just one of the perks of playing in our free home game club. The games are free, but the prizes are real. It's not just pins. So yeah, do send that email to info@rec.poker and let's get you set up with your free month. Congratulations. I see we've only got two people who have typed the word food bank into the chat. I can tell looking at the screen, there's many, many times that number of people here in the chat right now. If you're watching and you haven't typed the word food bank in, just type the words food bank in. You're eligible for a prize drawing. And I'd encourage you to do that because much like the home games, the YouTube podcast viewing experience is free, but the prizes are real. So I'll give you one more minute to type the word food bank in by just mentioning we've got a couple fun trips coming up. By the time you listen to this, I think it's safe to say you still have time. So on October 29th, I will be at Casino Niagara in fantastic Niagara, Ontario. I'm going to be playing cash there all day on Sunday. If you're in the area, please come by and say hi, and you can buy me a beer or I'll buy you a beer, something like that. It would be great to see some Southern Ontario rec poker peeps at Casino Niagara on Sunday, October 29th. And then the next weekend is the Run Good event in Cleveland. So I'm going to be out there from Friday the 3rd until Sunday the 5th. And then Kim Kilroy, who goes by Pet Vet, and some of her PFFs are going to be down there for the rest of that week, which is going to be a great time. But the crowning event in November that I'm looking forward to visiting personally is the Run Good event in Council Bluffs. Now, this one's going to be a blast. It's from November 14th to 19th. We're going to be doing strategy sessions. We're going to be doing study groups. We're going to be doing social activities. We're going to be getting off site and playing some mini putt or some bowling or something fun like that. It's going to be a social experience. It's going to be a fun poker experience. The Run Good events are always a lot of fun, but we're going to have a lot of Rec Poker members down here. And if you're on the fence about what to get up to, and if you're in the Iowa area, get yourself down to Council Bluffs November 14th and 19th and join the fun. It's going to be a great time. I also have to say, while we're talking about upcoming dates, it's the Big Turkey Tournament at Running Aces. That's from November 9th to 12th. It's an $800 buy-in, and you always get a good crowd at Running Aces because that's where this whole baby was born. That was the birthplace of the Rec Poker podcast, and I think it'll be a lot of fun if folks have some time available That is November 9th through 12th. Don't miss it. They're, Running Aces is also having a Black Friday free roll on November 24th, which is a free buy-in with a $5,000 prize pool added by Running Aces. And all you need to do is have a player's card and you can get a piece of that action. So I want folks, if you're traveling around and playing poker, consider those dates because they're coming up and they're going to be fun. All right. Well, I see we've joined. We've been joined by the DisoCam. Chris Jones has his fantastic new Steelers colored dice. Oh, sorry, Chris. I know that's not how you like to refer to them, but they are objectively black and gold.
Gold,
dice,
so. Not yellow.
Yeah. So are they Saints colored dice?
Yeah, maybe they are. That would be more apt.
Is that the semantic argument we're going to make here? Okay, I've got buddies that are Saints fans. That's okay. So I see in our YouTube chat. We got Phil Razor. We got the RRRCCC. And Joe Rafter, our international winner from Saturday, is here. So still, that's only three players, but I guess that those are the only three folks that want to win a prize tonight. So what are you going to do? You can't make them. You can't make people win. There's nothing to be done about it.
So why don't you roll a four-sided, and I'll do my usual every time you roll a four. Then it'll be $10. Usual $100 limit, please, because you hate me, Chris.
I'm good at rolling fours, I think.
Yeah, you are. This is fantastic. So if folks don't know, so Joe Coolis, a fantastic supporter of our food bank awareness drive here, is offering to donate out of his own pocket $10 to a food bank that's in his own neighborhood. If Chris rolls a four. If they roll a one, it'll be Chris. If it's a two, it'll be the RRCCC. And if it's a three, that'll go to our man Joe Rafter over in Ireland there. So
Phil just got bamboozled with the one, but it'll be Phil if you roll a one.
Oh, what did I say for one?
You said it'll be Chris.
Oh, I'm always trying to take it away from Phil. That's like that one was really subconscious, though. Okay, let's see who the winner's going to be.
Well, here we go.
All right.
It's a three.
It's a three. That's Joe Rafter. Joe, congratulations. So Joe, you're already a premium member here at rec.poker. So, you've won a free month either at, Learn Pro Poker or the Tournament Poker Edge or pokercoaching.com. You can also use that, winning towards a, discount in our coaching shop here if you want to get some work with some of our wrecking crew members. So you've got a lot of options. Send an email, sir, to info@rec.poker and claim your prize. Well, is there anything that anyone here wants to talk about? We've got a couple new scheduling events in September and October. On Thursday nights, we're shifting a little later in some nights, a little earlier in some nights. Sasha has introduced her own weekly study group on Saturdays at 5:00 Eastern about mastering mindset. That's been a good one so far, and I can't wait to see what she does with that. This week, if you're listening live, you can still make it to Joe's Poker PsyOps on Thursday at 7:30 Eastern. And that'll be followed up by Eric Jin's Play, Explain, and Learn at an earlier time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Some of us East Coasters can still get in there. And I believe it's Rob's book study on Wednesday. Rob, how are you doing in that one? Are you getting close to having solved all the poker problems in the world?
I think we have. Yeah, I think we're very close. Now this will be session 9, and we'll be studying chapter 10, which is preflop, which is the last main chapter. And then he goes into some generalities for the next book study. So I think we should be wrapping it up in November.
Okay, so fantastic.
We'll have to start thinking about what that next book could possibly be. That's by the way, we are studying GTO Poker Simplified by Daryl Carney and Barry Carter. So that is the book we're doing, and we're on chapter 10. So we're getting pretty close to the end of that book, and it's been very, very enlightening.
And folks, even though we're just getting to the end, don't feel like it's too late to join. We record all these sessions. They are available as premium videos here on our site. And Rob also uploads his fantastic slides that he presents for every session. If you want to go and take a look at the slides, they're in the book study group under documents, I believe, is one of the tabs there you can check for. And Rob really breaks down every strategic element of the chapter that he then goes through with our group. The book study is probably our longest running premium member event here going back to 2019. And it's just a phenomenal way to get a little guidance and company while you're working your way through the material. Sasha, you unmuted there. Would you like to add something?
Yeah, just very quickly. I just want to shout out. I just want to capture some of the language from this very rich conversation today, which is this idea of, quote, reasonable lines. And I think that players at every level struggle with this. What is a reasonable, unreasonable poker play? She's being unreasonable. They're not fun. They're not taking lines that I read about in books. Poker is defined by unreasonable insanity. And I think as we move all across our poker journeys, whatever it is and whatever context, this idea of what is reasonable and unreasonable, it would be really fun to start, you know, and maybe have a whole pod talking to someone about unreasonable lines, because it's a psychological question. It's an equity question. It's an aggression question. It touches so many different spheres. And it's important for players, especially rec players and others. I like to think like I learned so much, and then I just try to forget it all when I play. Like, we learn what's reasonable, and then we strap in, to use Joe's lovely phrase. So I just wanted to shout out the language from today's lovely conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Sasha. And I mean, as recreational players, you know, we're going to be playing against players that are less studied, that are making more unconventional plays or irrational lines. So it's the kind of thing that we're actually going to encounter at a pretty high frequency. And so it behooves us to kind of dig down into that and see if we can make some educated decisions, even when the assumptions of our opponents aren't necessarily transparent to us. Well, folks, I just have so much fun every week on this Rec Poker podcast. I'm so grateful to be here with this fantastic group. Thank you to the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. Thank you to all our premium members, the wind beneath our wings that we could not survive without. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast. If you're having a good time, please give us a rating, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I hate saying that kind of stuff, but it really does help us out a lot. Chris, did you have something you wanted to jump in with before we... No. All right. Well, then I just want to thank everyone here. Chris, Rob, Joseph, Sasha, John, and Joe. Thanks to the YouTube chatters. Thanks for our listeners at home. And we'll see you next week here on the Rec Poker Podcast. Have a good night, everybody.